Welcome back to another episode of The Radio Psychs, your premier podcast for insights into everything mental health. I'm Dr. Aaron Haddock.
And I'm Dr. Rhonda Yu. We're psychologists who care about people and bringing science to practice.
And we're so glad to have you join us.
Please note that the information shared in this episode is solely intended for informational and entertainment purposes only and is not a substitute for professional medical or mental health advice, diagnosis, or treatment.
Today's topic is, why do people commit unprovoked acts of violence?
In recent weeks, we've seen a spate of seemingly random and unprovoked acts of violence committed against innocent people in public spaces.
Most notably, in New York City, several women have been punched in the face in broad daylight by unknown men while walking down the street.
With the technology we have today, many of us are becoming more aware of these types of events taking place, essentially putting us in the role of virtual bystanders. In New York City, victims have posted videos of themselves recounting their experiences, sometimes just moments after the assault, which have attracted tens of millions of views on TikTok alone.
These victims are physically and emotionally hurt, and witnesses, both in person and online, are struggling to make sense of it. We ask questions like, what happened? Why is it happening? And what's driving people to do this?
There's a lot of people asking these questions, and many of them are posting their own response videos to process and discuss what happened.
Whether it's in person or a video, witnessing harmful acts like these can be troubling and confusing and cause us to feel unsafe, which is why we're dedicating today's episode to understanding what drives people to commit seemingly unprovoked acts of violence and aggression.
This is important for us to talk about, isn't it? Only by understanding it can we hope to effectively address its root causes and mitigate the risk of future incidents.
Right. It's also important because these incidents force us to confront the uncomfortable reality of human behavior, that it's not so simple. Human behavior is multifaceted, and the reasons behind any specific individual's actions can be influenced by numerous internal and external factors. But if our goal as a society is to foster a culture of empathy and compassion, this is something we can't avoid talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's explore some of the possible underlying factors that might drive unprovoked aggressive behavior.
Yeah, let's do it.
The first thing we should address is the assumption that when a person engages in unprovoked violent behavior, it's because the person is suffering from a serious mental illness, like bipolar disorder or schizophrenia. What's the reality?
Well, the truth is, violent and aggressive behavior is relatively rare among people with serious mental illness. And when it does occur, it's usually intertwined with other issues, like concurrent drug or alcohol use, having experienced child abuse, or living in a high crime area and exposure to violence.
Drug and alcohol use, for example, can impair judgment, reduce inhibitions, and increase impulsivity. And research indicates that co-occurring use of these substances can exacerbate existing psychological conditions and make a person more prone to aggression.
Absolutely.
Neurological factors can play a role too. Brain injuries or certain neurological conditions can affect the areas of the brain responsible for impulse control and decision-making and lead to a higher propensity for aggressive behavior, sometimes in ways that the individuals themselves can't understand or predict.
We also need to consider the fundamental ways in which human behavior is shaped and strengthened by what results from our actions. In many cases, behavior is not entirely random, but instead serves a purpose. And we engage in acts that either give us something we want or get us out of something we don't want.
That's true. This applies to even the most problematic or difficult to understand actions that people engage in. Usually, their attempts to achieve a specific result, like getting social attention, communicating a particular need, or feeling a certain way, for example.
So when we apply this understanding of human behavior to understanding random acts of aggression on the street, we wonder, what could a person get out of assaulting another person? And we realize there's a range of possibilities, including reasons that are not immediately obvious.
From the outside, sometimes aggressive behavior can appear unprovoked and random, but it may be that it does something for the person. For example, they might see their action as granting them some form of social attention or sense of power and control, which may make it more likely for them to do it again in the future.
For some, aggressive behavior may be a coping mechanism. When dealing with stress, trauma, or emotional pain, some may turn to aggression as a way to deal with or escape these feelings, especially if they lack healthier coping strategies.
It's a lot to consider. And while these factors might offer some explanation, we want to be clear that they don't excuse harmful behavior. However, through understanding, we can find ways to prevent violence, support individuals in need, and create safer communities for all of us.
That's right. With that in mind, we should address the obvious role social media plays. When videos of aggressive acts and discussions of them go viral, it has the potential to create a contagion effect, which is a psychological phenomenon where an idea, emotion, or behavior spreads rapidly through a population.
In this context, there's a real concern that witnessing acts of violence or aggression online can inspire similar behaviors in others and trigger a wave of imitation. We've actually seen this in violent trends that have gone viral on social media, like sucker punching people from behind and fight compilations, which are videos composed of fight snippets that everyday people record, usually on their cell phones.
It's a form of observational learning, and this isn't just theoretical. Meta-analyses, which are basically bigger studies that combine the results of many smaller studies to see what the overall trend is, have shown that individuals exposed to media violence on a regular basis are more likely to accept and imitate violent behavior.
And the viral feedback loops created by social media have the potential to serve as a form of social reinforcement, encouraging aggressors or others by showing them that such behavior garners a lot of attention.
Breaking this cycle means recognizing the role each of us plays in it, whether as passive observers, active participants, or as voices for change.
When we view, share, or promote aggressive behavior online, we may inadvertently be condoning and contributing to more violence in society. Instead, let's focus on providing genuine support for one another and building healthy communities, both online and offline.
That's right. By choosing to promote positivity, we contribute to a culture that values empathy and care over sensationalism and harm.
Absolutely.
And that's a wrap.
Thank you for joining us on this exploration of violent and aggressive behavior and the ways we can all contribute to a more peaceful, kind, and caring world. Take care and be well, everybody.
Take care and be well.